Okay, so again, my name is Paul Long, and I'm the technical evangelist for the network monitor team. And today we're going to try to, or in this presentation, we're going to give you an idea of what an exit looks like from start to finish. So let's go on to the next slide and we'll get started here. Okay, so this is the overview for this particular presentation. We're going to do a case study of top users, which is one of the experts we did. We're going to talk a little bit about requirements and design, how to kind of come up with your expert, some problems we encounter, some best practices, discuss how to release your expert internally and externally, and then we have some final parting thoughts and some links for you. So let's go ahead and get to the introduction here. So first we're going to have a history of basically experts. We're going to talk about what is an expert, and we're going to do some demos, at least show screenshots of demos so you can see the experts that we have today. So first of all, let's discuss what is an expert. So we're going to narrow our scope down. An expert can be anything, right? A person could be an expert for that matter. And so we're going to narrow our definition down for this particular talk. And it's basically an external program that runs from network monitor that analyzes and captures data and provides some kind of higher level of work on the data. So a couple of examples that could be experts are top users, the VRTA, which is a round trip time analyzer for HTTP traffic, which is available on this download. TCP Analyze is a new tool we have to analyze TCP traffic. And then Simple Search is another expert that we've already released externally, which allows us to search for data. And we'll show that real quick in a second. So let's talk about the history of experts real quick. So back in Network Monitor 2.0, we had a bunch of experts built in, some top users, top protocol. And due to the change in architecture of Network Monitor 3, we kind of lost all those up until this point. Wireshark, as you guys probably know, also has a lot of experts built in. They're in different places on the menu, but they allow you to do some of the same stuff. Network Monitor 3.2, we released our API at that point, and it was possible to create experts, but there was a disconnect from the UI and the expert itself. There's no way to run it from the expert. So in Network Monitor 3.3, we changed this and allowed a menu interface with some contextual information, such as the frame you've selected or the current filter, to be passed to an expert. And the expert in this case is still an external executable that runs. So it could be made with our API, it could be made with another program, it doesn't really matter. But again, the focus is to be more on our API and experts. So let's just show some screenshots of two experts we have. First one we're going to talk about is top users. So the first thing actually I'm going to talk about is the menu itself, and the bottom link there says download expert. And what this does is when you click on the link, it takes you to the web page where we advertise all our available experts. So this creates a simple way to find the experts available. So you can see that we have simple experts and top users. And as our team or other folks externally or whatever tell us about experts and we decide that we're going to advertise their expert, we will stick it on this page. So the requirements for that are, you know, we'll probably nail those down, but we have basic requirements. You know, it's not like we're going to critical about what we put up here, but this will have a list of all the available experts. So now let's look at top users specifically. And again, when you execute the expert, you see that you can do it in front of the menu. This is one way to do it. Top users by endpoint. And then you can select launch expert. Or you can also do how do I use this expert, which will bring up a help which the expert provider gives you and tells you how to use the expert. But in this case, I selected launch expert, and then the expert started running. So on this slide, I just wanted to show you that in this case, the top user's expert has started. And in the lower left-hand corner, you see that it says load and capture. So the idea here is that you want to give the user some feedback of what's happening while you capture. And doing it in the status bar seems like a pretty reliable way. I've tried it some other ways. This seems to be the best. Has the least amount of issues as far as multi-threading and being able to show the dialogue. So this is probably a pretty good way to show the status of your expert loading. In this case, loading the capture file or also loading the parser, which both show up down there. And then now, in this next screen, the expert has appeared. You can see that it's a grid control. It shows you the addresses. In this case, it's top used by endpoint. There's also a top used by conversation, which would show pairs of addresses. So it's basically a table where you can sort on different columns. By default, we sort on top bytes. And you can see that immediately that the top address is probably it is the top box on the network. And it might be interesting to understand why that's the case. This application also has the bar chart and a pie chart built in, so you can quickly visualize the data. So in this case, I did a pie chart, and you can see that these two particular users take up most of the traffic to the trade. So that's what you may want to do down in the computer about the month. So that's one expert. The next expert I'm going to show you is Simple Search. And in this case, I'm going to show it running in a different way. In this case, I've clicked on the frame, or right now, clicked on frame 34. I said, run the expert, and now I'm launching Simple Search. Simple Search doesn't use the frame you selected. So in this case, the context is not used, but the expert could run based on the frame you selected, as well as the current filter that applies, the current conversation, or even a range of frames the frame summary. So your expert has some flexibility of what data to actually operate on. And we also pass in the file name. That's what Simple Search uses in this case. So now, when Simple Search runs, you can see that it brings up a simple dialog, and you can type in what you want to search. And this works like a find next. You basically type in the text, and this searches cases that is sensitively Unicode as well as ASCII. Searches the entire frame. You can also put in regular addresses. This means you can do complex things like, in this case, built-in ones like email address or IP address. So this text, you know, allows you to do regular addresses of my data is really powerful. And now the user would search and it would actually highlight the frame in that. And in this case, we're using spin keys, no really automation of them on. But the application is just, you know, you off the network was running and basically remote control to display the frame. There's also an option in search to show the hex detail, and this allows you to locate exactly where the frame the offset goes. Perhaps try to also automate that in the hex. So that would be a little bit more complex. For this particular version of the app, we stuck to just highlighting the screen and give you some details in the app.
So let me take over for Paul here because of the echo. My name is Michael Hawker. I'm a program manager for the Network Monitor team. And let's dive into our top users case study. So top users is an expert which shows you the machines which are generating the most traffic on your network. Paul wrote the top users expert, and he wanted to talk about some of the things he encountered while writing an expert that you want to keep in mind while you're designing these types of tools. That's what we're going to go into now, what an expert is, what it can do, and how it can interact with Network Monitor. And we'll show you a lot of the challenges that are behind this and what you have to think about if you want to develop these tools for others to use. So one thing we encountered was obviously with top users, we wanted to release the source code on CodePlex in order to have a concrete example that others could use in order to make other experts from and understand how they work and interact with our API and those other types of issues.
So we wanted to make sure that the code was very clean, and we'll talk about these tools in a little more detail, but one of the challenges was to make sure that we continually ran these tools to make sure we were following best practices and not that, you know, at the end of the project we tried to run them and there's hundreds of errors and, you know, it's a little daunting to go through and fix all those things to make it a little bit more formal than, you know, if we had run them ahead of time. The other thing sometimes is we have a lot of handles because our API is based in a native world, but we provide a managed wrapper. And so there's things you have to be aware of when you're programming in this style that, you know, C# normally takes care of all the objects for you and cleans everything up. But with our API, that's not always the case, and you have to be aware that you have to close these handles when you're done with them in order to free your resources. And there'll be more details about that later in the day. The other cool thing was, you know, as Paul said, he had this nice little pie chart and bar chart that showed you the breakdowns, but there's some costs associated with that, which we'll get into. And just UI decisions, you know, how are you going to, you know, take your UI and update it to be kind of more modern and go into, you know, design details, guidelines, what are your toolbars going to look like, you know, make sure you have icon images on your toolbar so that, you know, it's not confusing, it's very clear to users what they're trying to accomplish. And finally, we also provide a mechanism within the UI itself for your expert to provide documentation. So you want to make sure that you provide documentation to your users and make it clear that they can, you know, get assistance and know how to run your expert and in what cases your experts work. And very simply, you just write an RTF file, so something that's pretty universal, and Network Monitor can show it in a little dialog box. And it's also very easy for you to drop in a rich text control into your expert itself to provide that same help. So let's dive into a little bit more detail about expert requirements and designing your expert and what you want to think about, you know, and if this is the right platform for you at all. So do you have a large, you know, scope for your project, or is it just going to be some little small tool you're creating to help yourself? You know, is this just a kind of a one-off project that you're trying to solve one particular problem, or is this tool that you're working on really going to benefit a larger audience and be able to, you know, is this something you actually want to take the time to devote and write a more complex expert that other people are going to use? And so, you know, and once you make that decision or not, do you have an audience that you want to target? Is it going to be testers? Is it going to be developers? Is it going to be support engineers? You know, who are you trying to make this tool for, and who are you trying to really help, you know, with this complex analysis that experts provide? And, you know, after you've done all this development, are you even going to have the time to support, you know, if there's bugs that come up, people have questions, you know, can you maintain this ecosystem at all, you know, within the company or externally, depending on your platform for release? Is there a question? So to repeat the question is, what is the difference between audiences? How are people going to use the tool differently? And so, you know, testers might be more interested in, you know, verifying information is correct based on their product they're using. Maybe, you know, support engineers are actually interested in more things like the round trip analyzers like VRTA and the TCP analyzer we mentioned. So they might be more interested in knowing if the data, you know, is going on the wire quickly, or if there's a slowdown somewhere. I mean, that's just kind of what I mean by the audience, is just how, you know, who is your tool for? Is it more of a diagnosis tool? Is it more of an analysis tool? Is it a performance tool? And those are going to, you know, appeal to a different set of people using Network Monitor. So another important thing is also, you know, what type of user interface are you going to display to your user? And, you know, you don't want to have things be overly complicated. You want to make sure that they're very simple and straightforward so that users can easily, you know, be presented with the information you're trying to get across and to know where they can dive in to get more details. So sometimes, you know, you want to make sure you separate multiple views. Like we saw with top users, the pie chart, you know, came into another window. The VRTA has a nice tab system, so you can switch between the kind of graph view and kind of the raw data and some more detailed descriptions of how you can improve performance. There's user interface guidelines you can follow, too, to make sure that you're kind of in line with the rest of the Windows world and being a good Windows citizen. And another question, of course, is just where do you learn about our API? So we have a lot of references, and we have the new CodePlex portal, which is providing more details, and we'll be uploading more info there. But even if you just download Network Monitor itself in our help file from the help menu, we have a whole API reference and kind of SDK there. So it's very easy to quickly pick up and find within the product itself and get a complete breakdown of all the possible functions that you can use within our product. And they're organized by kind of how they should be used. And we'll go into more details about the API itself later in the day. So to help you avoid kind of some of the stuff we've learned about as we've gone through this process, we wanted to talk about some of the problems we encountered and hopefully, you know, help you learn from our mistakes and not fall into the same problems that we did. So one thing we did with the top users expert is we had this nice chart, right? And it made the chart was very simple to drop into our project and you know correlate this data in a nice visual fashion for our users. But by doing so, we added this external dependency with our tool that users had to go download this chart control that only works on .NET 3.5. And so, you know, not every user is going to have that sort of resources. And, you know, we also have to be wary of what the licensing is, you know, and there's a lot of other concerns that you have to think about when you're using these kind of third-party components. And on top of that, you want to make sure that if the user doesn't have those components installed, that maybe they can still use parts of your expert and it just, you know, pops up and say, please download this component if you'd like to see the graph. And that way they can still get some useful information from the basic interface without, you know, having installed and going through all the complexities of getting these components. But if they do have the components, of course, they have some nice benefits as well. The other important thing to note is that Network Monitor is a multi-platform product. And so you want to make sure that your expert will run on these multiple platforms, specifically x86 and x64. So that way you can, you know, appeal to the wider audience and that someone on, you know, the x64 platform isn't going to get annoyed that you haven't released your expert for x64. And if you're doing the native a C++ project, then there's some extra steps in terms of compiling, cross-compiling that you'll need to do. Which we'll talk about in a later presentation. And it's not something we've talked about a lot, but I'm sure if you've used Network Monitor, you know we have a wide variety of parsers, which actually analyze the data coming over the wire and let you know if it's TCP, UDP, MSRPC, and get very specific detailed information about this data. And what you'll find with the API is that there's a whole set of API around loading those parsers and actually using them with your network data and to get that more detailed information. And you don't have to use the parsers, but in a lot of cases where you're doing these detailed analysis, you're going to want to load them. And you kind of want to think of a story behind that. How are you going to load these parsers? The parsing instances maintain some state, so you're going to need separate ones for each kind of file that you're loading. And there'll be more details in the day about that as well. But, you know, what happens if you want your expert to run as a standalone application too, like VRTA? It can kind of load a file on the fly and, you know, do analysis. Or, you know, hopefully with some other experts, you can, you know, launch them from the Network Monitor UI. So how are you going to deal with those kind of two kind of support stories of how people might use your app? And it's just stuff to think about ahead of time so you don't kind of get thought, oh, well, it'd be cool if I could load a file without loading Netmon first, but, well, my design doesn't handle that anymore, and, you know, it's not something you really want to add in later. And another thing to note is with our SDK we provide on CodePlex, we have a tool that lets you build an MSI relatively easily so that people can, you know, have a package to download your expert with and that it will do the registration with Network Monitor for you. And so what that does, it'll install your expert in program files. So that's an administrative-only directory. And so you want to make sure that if your expert needs to output files, then you're not just going to write to your project directory, because when it's installed, you're not going to have the access rights to do so. And so you just want to be kind of, you know, like we've been saying, a good Windows citizen, and make sure that you're thinking about all these things as you're designing an expert or a tool and moving forward in that development process. And another thing, you want to just make sure you clean up everything when you uninstall, so that the user isn't left with a bunch of little things just scattered around their hard drive that are, like, you know, could cause problems or, you know, take up space later on. So along these similar lines, we talked about, you know, what happens if you're going, you know, kind of the complete route of releasing an expert and you want to make it an example, and so you want to have the source code somewhere. And, you know, if you really want to go and have that kind of shared development aspect, or maybe even if it's just within your own team, you may want to follow some of these best practices just so it's easier for everyone on the project to, you know, develop the expert and understand what's going on when someone adds something new. So there's a few different tools for this. If you're in the C++ world, there's Prefast and the App Verifier that's built into Visual Studio. There's more information about that on MSDN. There's also a tool called FXCop if you're working in C#, which will let you know of different, you know, violations and different things that just help, you know, improve the readability of your code and the kind of the quality of your code to make sure weird things may not happen in different instances. And along those same lines, and just in terms of readability, there's StyleCop, which will analyze your comments and your kind of coding and variable names and just make sure that you're making everything as easy to read as possible.
Okay, so next, you spent months working on your expert, and now you want to release it. You want to either release it internally or externally. So let's talk about that a little bit. So there's some decisions you got to make. You want to see if your expert is ready to go. Is it tested? Does it work? Do you want to release it externally or internally, with or without source code? You know, do you want people to maybe learn from the source code? And then also you got to decide where you're going to release it. And some of this depends on the other questions. So let's dig into this just a little bit. So is your expert ready? Well, some things you could do is a peer review. You could get some of your friends or users to test it out, make sure that it does what it needs to do. Often this kind of rules out or roots out some problems where, you know, one person uses a wireless trace versus a regular Ethernet trace. You know, sometimes there's problems like that you got to make sure you test. Is it documented and presentable? In the case of the documentation, you know, do you want somebody to look at the documentation, obviously, and make sure it's okay? But is also the code presentable? And then along these same lines, did it pass, if you're going to release the code, did it pass the prefab, the XFCOP, or the StyleCOP? Because these are great tools for helping you make the code readable and standardize all the code. And then finally, we have a test plan from our SDK, and if we haven't mentioned it before, you know, we have this SDK that has a lot of information on all this stuff we're talking about today. And there's a test plan in there that gives you some ideas of things that you should check before you release, things you should test. So you can use that as a good guideline or checklist to determine if you are ready to release your expert. So let's now say you've done all this and you want to release it. Where are you going to release it? Well, to show you in the beginning, the advertised expert page is on CodePlex. So if you contact our team and you have an expert that you're going to release externally, we can work with you and advertise your expert so that anybody working with Network Monitor 3.3 will be able to look at that expert page and see your expert. You can upload source code. CodePlex is the place that we're using today. In fact, the top users expert is available on CodePlex. All the source code is out there, and the binary is out there as well. And source code and CodePlex is a good option for doing source code. If you're only going to release the binary, if you want to keep your source code internal or you don't think it's of quality to release externally, well, you can release just the binary, and this is done on CodeGallery, which is the link that's there, the MSDN link.
So we hope that we've showed you that really experts open up this world of possibilities, and that you know there's a lot of stuff you can do and a lot of power that you can get with this integration from Network Monitor, and really open up a whole different variety of analysis opportunities. And you know, if you have a plan from a start, it can be pretty straightforward to create one of these tools and to really, you know where you're headed and just create a really well-founded tool that a lot of other people can get a lot of benefit out of. And hopefully at the same time, you can have a little fun and learn something new. And so we have the expert portal up on CodePlex, which has our expert-specific SDK. The API SDK is included within Network Monitor. And we have links to other experts there. And there's also the user experience guidelines on MSDN.
Thanks for coming, and we appreciate you being here today, and we look forward to seeing what you might create in the future.